Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Gateway City Church. I'm Pastor Matt Schultz, and I'm happy to be sharing with you this morning. During this time of self-isolation, during the COVID crisis, I just really miss seeing you in person. It seems like relationships have changed a little bit, haven't they? We still have relationships, but we're just not able to have that in-person relationship with one another. When we talk about relationships, and that's the topic today, is our relationship with God. We relate to different people differently, don't we? How we relate to one another is depending on who we are relating to. So we probably relate differently to our spouse than we do to our children. Our relationship with our boss or our employees is probably going to be a little bit different as well. We're going to relate to them differently, as well as we relate to maybe a stranger on the street. The question today is, how do we relate to God? That's a very different relationship, isn't it? And just like our human relationships, that relationship with God can be either healthy or unhealthy. Do we relate to God in a way that's healthy, or do we relate to him in a way that's unhealthy? That is what we're going to be touching on today. People throughout the history of mankind have related to God in different ways. Each one of us sees God probably a little bit different. And it is how we see God in relation to us and what we believe he wants or doesn't want that makes the difference. So when anthropologists look at the history of religion, they see it as a way for humanity to control deities or to control circumstances. That's a very cynical way of looking at it, but I think there's some truth to it, though, isn't there? If you go back thousands of years before the understanding of science like we have today, ancient peoples looked at nature and had a hard time understanding it, never mind predicting it. They couldn't control it. And so the question that the ancient had was, what happens if the rains don't come for our crops? What if we don't get enough sun? What if there's not enough heat? What if it snows later than it should and it affects our crops? The questions that they had is, what happens when a loved one or myself gets a fever? What do we do about that? How do we control that? Can we do anything about that? What if my wife, who is pregnant, has problems in childbirth? What if she dies in childbirth? There's so many questions, so many issues that they had, and they didn't know why the things happened, but they figured out ways that they think that they could control the outcomes of their circumstances. Ancient peoples connected all of these happenings not to natural sciences, but they connected them to deities or gods. As long as they felt that they did the right rituals, did the right things that pleased these deities or gods, that things would hopefully go their way, that those deities or gods would look upon them in a favorable light and give them the things that they needed. Those who followed the rules and obeyed the rituals and appeased the gods ended up with blessing. And those who didn't received the opposite. In this scenario, religion is a way of understanding and controlling otherwise unpredictable forces. And with a sense of control, it reduced people's fear, or at least so they thought. Through more monotheistic religions, like Christianity or Judaism or maybe even Islam, there was a combination of those rituals, along with, at least in Christianity, the right belief. And moralism was brought in together to combine with that idea of ritual. And so sometimes within Christianity, it's this belief or this thinking that as long as I do the right things, ritual, as long as I believe the right things, and as long as I do the right things in regards to my morals, then hopefully I will get the intended result or the desired result that I want. In terms of our posture towards God or our relationship with God, I would refer to this as a life under God model. This idea that God is up there and we're under here, and as long as we do the right things, that God will give us the correct result. That is life under God. It's interesting, though, that what we see in the Bible in regards to God's posture towards us and how he wants us postured towards him is actually, I think, a little bit different. What we see in the scriptures is that God wants to do life with us. And so I would say that posture towards God is life with God. We're going to compare and contrast those things in this message. And in the messages to come, we're going to be talking about other ways that we can posture ourselves towards God that sometimes isn't so healthy. Coming back to this idea of life with God. If you want to open up your Bibles or even just look at the screen that you're watching today, we're going to look first at John chapter 1, verse 1. This is what it says. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, if you're new to this, you're wondering, what does it mean? Who is the Word, or what is the Word? This scripture is written by the disciple of Jesus, John, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. So when it says the Word, it's referring to Jesus himself. He's saying, in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. In scripture, we see this really kind of this idea that's hard to wrap our mind around that we would call the Trinity. It's this idea that even though God is one, he's one person, that he reveals himself in three different persons. It's this idea of three in one. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. Some refer to as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this scripture that we just read, we see this relationship, and we see it in the beginning of Genesis as well, this relationship between the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, in such perfect unity, together with each other. They dwell together in unity. We see this as well in creation when God created humanity. So let's look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." We see in this passage that when God created humanity, we were made in the likeness of God. Now, in the same way that we're made in the likeness of God, God also created us to have a relationship with him. Not under him, but together with him. And we see even in this passage that God created us to rule over the creation that he created. We were to do this together with him. Obviously, God rules over creation, but he created us to be like him also in the sense that we were going to rule with him. Let's jump to Jesus. How did Jesus do things? In Mark chapter 3, verses 14, it says this, "He appointed 12," that's referring to the disciples, "he appointed 12 that they might be with him." Jesus' foremost desire for the 12 disciples wasn't just for mission, although he had things for them to learn, and he had a mission for them to accomplish, but his foremost desire for his disciples that they would be with him. This is a posture towards God that we see right from the beginning through all the way to the end. So let's look at Revelation chapter 21. We see the end of the story when Jesus is going to come back. He's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. And it says this, John the Revelator says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." It's interesting that word "with" is there at the beginning, it's there in the middle, and it's there at the end as well. This idea that That God's ultimate desire is that he would dwell with us. That he would dwell with us. From the beginning, that is what we see. So the question is, what went wrong? What has changed? Why has, in many ways, our posture or relationship towards God changed? Well, if we go a little bit further in Genesis, we see the problem that pops up. We see this character Satan come onto the scene. Now here in Genesis 3, he comes in the form of a serpent, but I don't want that to distract you from this conversation. It is a conversation between Satan and Eve, or the woman that is talked about in this passage. And this is what it says. It says, he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." This is how Satan replies. He says, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is a fascinating passage. There's so much in there, and there's a lot that you can take out. But when you look at this passage, Satan is constantly lying and he's constantly deceiving. Everything that comes out of his mouth is either a bit of a deception, a twist on the truth that ends up being a lie, or just a bold-faced lie altogether. When you look at this passage, this incident isn't just about disobeying God, although it is about that too. But ultimately, I believe it is about control. It's not about being like God. Satan deceives Eve and Adam in this situation by saying, "You're going to be like God." The fascinating aspect about that statement is that what we read in Genesis earlier, in Genesis chapter 1, is that God had created humanity to be like him anyways. We have been created in his image. But the thing that Satan is trying to deceive Adam and Eve into is believing that they needed to have control over their situation. They needed to know good and evil just like God. What Satan is doing is he's placing seeds of mistrust in their heart towards their Heavenly Father. Can you truly trust God? Is he giving you all the information that you need? Maybe you need to be just like him. Maybe you need to have full knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting because the posture changes from a trusting partnership with God to distrust and control. It is a story about having control on our terms. The scripture and Christian tradition calls this rebellious human desire for control apart from God, sin. Sin is this idea of saying, "God, I don't trust you. I don't trust the things that you say. You tell me this is the truth, but I think that this is really the truth. God, you tell me to live this way because it's the best way to live, but I don't really trust you. I think that my ideas are better than your ideas." And so we go our own way. We turn our backs on God and we head in our own direction thinking that we know better. God never turns his back on us. He's always faced towards us. But in our sin, we turn our back upon God and we head in our own direction. In a life under God posture, we're seeking to exert control over God through strict adherence to rituals, proper belief systems, and absolute obedience to moral codes. And on the outset, it seems like we're just being obedient to God, but the underlying motivation behind it is control of God. Religion is a means of control of otherwise unpredictable events. Let me tell you a story. Back in 2010, in fact, this story goes back to November 28th, 2010, there was a football player, an NFL player named Steve Johnson, and he was a receiver for the Buffalo Bills. On this day, his team was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in this game, it was in the fourth quarter, it was towards the end of the game. And the ball was in the hands of the Buffalo Bills. And they were coming towards the end zone. And in this play, there was a pass that was thrown out to the wide receiver, Steve Johnson. And the ball came into his hands, and instead of catching it, he bobbled it and dropped the ball. And they didn't get the touchdown. The Pittsburgh Steelers ended up getting possession of the ball. And in the ensuing play, they're able to march down the field and score the final touchdown, which won them the game. Steve Johnson took this incredibly hard, as you can imagine. And Steve Johnson was a Christian, and over Twitter, he actually posted a rant that was intended to speak towards God. And this is what he said on Twitter. He said, "I praise you 24/7, exclamation mark. And this is how you do me. You expect me to learn from this. How? I'll never forget this ever. Thanks, though." Pretty harsh words towards God, isn't it? For Steve Johnson and many others, religion is a means of seeking control over otherwise unpredictable events. He was talking to God over Twitter. How did Steve Johnson relate to God? As long as he did the right things, as long as he worshiped God in a way that he felt God wanted him to, as long as he lived the right way, then he should get the results that he wanted. God should have taken care of him. He should have been able to catch that ball because God would have made it happen. It seems funny to us, but in reality, I think there's a lot that we can potentially relate to. It might not be through football for you, but it could be your physical health or the physical health of someone that you love. Maybe something's happened to somebody that you love, or it's happened to you. And you look at the situation and you say, "God, I feel like I've done all the right things. I've believed the right things. I've done the right things. I've worshiped you. I've lived a moral life. And this is how you do me. God, this is the result that you give me." Maybe your situation is more like this. Maybe it has to do with a relationship that you're in, or your marriage, or even your relationship with kids, your kids, and things have gone south. Things haven't turned out the way it should have. Maybe your kids have walked away from you, they've walked away from God, or whatever it is, and you feel burnt, you feel bitter about it. You feel like you've done all the right things, and you've done what you believe God has wanted you to do, and you haven't got the result that you have wanted. Are you living a posture of life under God, trying to control Him rather than living life with Him? Maybe it's even in regards to your finances. Things haven't turned out the way you wanted in terms of your finances, or it's not going the way it should, and you feel like God should be doing something about it. Have you ever seen the idea, maybe it's on social media or whatever, the idea of hashtag blessed? The idea of like, look, I am blessed. What does that mean exactly? What does blessed look like to us in North America? Are we blessed only when things turn out right, the way we want them to? Or does blessed mean something else? What about the thousands of Christians around the world that live in persecution every day? They're living their life for God, they're being obedient to God, but yet they live underneath persecution. Are they blessed? What about people around the world that are just fighting to put food on the table for their family? They love God and they're doing all the right things, but they're still struggling in that way. Are they blessed? As Christians, we are told that if we obey the commands of God, if we worship Him, if we give financially to the church, if we abstain from sin, then He will bless our lives. And to be honest, there's truth to that. God gives us direction in life for a reason. He's saying, hey, this is the direction I want you to go, and this is how you should do things, because this will cause things to go right in your life. But is Jesus, or is God, is he like that cosmic Santa Claus where he's looking down upon us with his checklist, knowing whether we are naughty or nice? If not, he will send his punishment down upon us and not give us what we want. Moving beyond the individual to the community, when we believe this life under God posture, if blessing and calamity are based on us obeying the rules, then the religious institution or the church becomes a place of keeping everybody in line. When we look at the bad stuff happening in the world today, like COVID-19, maybe back in 2005 we looked at Hurricane Katrina, or even back in 2001 with 9/11, oftentimes Christians look at that and they say that is the judgment of God. For those of you that don't have faith in Jesus or struggling with it, this is exactly the reason maybe why you don't have faith. You have a hard time believing or worshiping a God that just doles out blessings and curses based on his random set of criteria. But is that truly the God of the Bible? It's easy to get that idea by grabbing individual instances or stories out of the Bible and coming to that conclusion. But when we look at the progression and grand narrative of the Bible, especially through the lens of Jesus, we get a clearer picture. What would Jesus say about this? Well, let's look at John chapter 9. It says this from verse 1 to 7. It says, As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. In the story, we see not a lot of care or compassion on behalf of the disciples. What we see is judgment. They're just looking at this man and trying to figure out what he or someone else did wrong for him to be in this predicament. Their worldview was someone must have done something wrong for this to have happened to him. This man or his parents must have sinned. Jesus is interesting because he isn't interested in the how of the situation. He is interested in the what. What I mean by that is Jesus isn't interested in how this happened to the man. Jesus is interested in what they can do about it. And I think that's such a healthy posture for us to have. Even during this time of COVID-19, there's so many things on the internet about how it happened. In so many ways, it's so unhealthy. It leads us down a path that doesn't produce anything that is good. But what Jesus wants to do within our hearts isn't to know how it happened, but what can we do about it? What can we do about it? God wanted to show his goodness through this man in the midst of the tough stuff that he was going through. Jesus wanted to move his disciples away from posture of fear of life under God and move them to a place of partnering with God to do the works of God with him. And so when he looked at this man, he wasn't saying, you know, this happened to him just so that God could show his glory through him, but he was looking at the man saying, no, even in the midst of this, God wants to do something special in him. God wants to take the brokenness that this man is experiencing and do something spectacular in it. Maybe you have related to God in a way that is more of a life under God posture. Do you know what? You can change that. Did you know that part of the meaning of the word repentance is this idea of a change of mind? Maybe you are listening today and you're not a Christian. and you've just thought that this is what Christianity is all about. This is how Christians work, this idea of life under God. And you have no desire of relating to Him in that way. Did you know that God wants to have a relationship with you? He wants to do life with you. God wants to relate to those around you. And maybe even today, you would be interested in starting that relationship with God. Not a relationship under God, in fear of God, but a relationship with God. If you are a Christian, I hope that this challenges you and helps you to see God in a healthier way. That it can take you from a stance of fear and control to a posture of trust in and with God. Why don't you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray, O Lord, that our stance and our posture towards You would change. Lord, that you'd bring repentance into our heart and mind, that You would change our minds. God, You want us to understand and know You better. Lord, for those that are struggling, whether or not they choose to want to know You, God, I pray, O Lord, that You would minister to them. That for those of you out there, I pray that you would choose to walk a life with God. And Lord, for those who've already chosen to follow You, Lord, I pray that we would truly walk out our relationship with You in trust instead of fear and control. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're listening today and you've chosen a new walk with God, I would love to hear from you. Have an awesome day.